Okay, I have a question for all of you before I begin today. I need you to tell me yes or no if you think you understand what the word temptation means. Okay, now there's no voting going on here. Okay, how many of you, let's put it that, how many of you think you know what temptation means? Okay. If I ask you all, how many different answers do you think I'll get? As many as there are people, that would be it. We all have a different understanding of temptation. For some of us, temptation can be just a piece of a freshly baked chocolate cake with frosting, sitting in the kitchen that has to go somewhere else, and you desperately want to have a piece of it before it goes. For some of us, temptation can be ordering dessert after we've already had a meal and we know we've had enough to eat. For some of us, temptation can be, a cool glass of wine. Or perhaps a highball, like my grandmother used to call them. Or something just a little stiffer, as my father would say. Temptation can be driving along North Shore in July. And whether it's a guy with a really impressive six-pack or one of those ladies that seem to have legs that don't stop. You know, guys, you know what I'm talking about. That's all temptation, right? In the prayer that we are studying, and this is the last time, it's the last piece of what actually was the Lord's Prayer. We've gone through, give us our daily bread. We've talked about forgiving us our sins as we forgive those who sin. And now we get to that last point, which is what? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from actually the evil one. We slide past this one quickly because we really don't think God's going to make me drive by the bakery enough times to stop and eat something I shouldn't. We don't do that. And we kind of don't want to talk about other temptations. But this temptation is way too specific. Jesus is not just talking about food or anything like that. This temptation is way too real. Why does Jesus ask us to pray this every day? Why? Because a little more than 3.5 months before he gives this prayer to them on the hill, he is out in the wilderness, and he has been led there by the Holy Spirit for the specific purpose of being tested by Satan. His father leads him into the wilderness, away from anyone else, away from any comforts, away from any distractions, so that his focus will simply be on being tested by the evil one. He made it. And let's look at the temptations for a second. His temptations are pretty real. The first one is rather simple. I've been out in the desert for 40 days. I've had enough water, but there is no food. What do you think you would be? Besides 10 pounds skinnier, what do you think you would be? Hungry. So when Satan comes to him, he says, at your baptism, the clouds opened up and your father said, you are my beloved son. If you are the Son of God, make these stones turn to bread. Then you won't be hungry anymore. Jesus' answer is, from Deuteronomy, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So then Satan goes another way. He says once again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself off of this high place, because after all, the Word of God says that He will bear you up in His hands and the angels will protect you lest you dash your foot against a stone. Show us how wonderful you are. That would kind of be the answer if you jumped off. Yeah. So, Jesus says again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And finally, Satan, we are told, takes him to a high mountain and lets him look out over the world and sees the Roman Empire. He sees the Parthian Empire. He sees the Chinese Empire. And he sees that too. And he sees it all. And Satan says, I will give this to you, the glory of all these nations, if you will just bow down and worship me. And the answer is, it is written, you shall worship the Lord, and him only shall you serve. And Satan goes away, we are told, until another time when he had the chance. Why does someone who went through that have us pray every day, lead us not into temptation? It's not a simple place to be, but what is the temptation? Every one of the temptations deal with power. Every one of them deal with the power of the world. Every one of them deal with power the way God does not deal with it, with violence and anger. Roman power, Roman control, Roman glory. Glory in Rome was a military parade, marching through the streets and throwing bread to the people to keep them happy. Jesus had just asked us to pray for our daily bread, and now he says, do not bring us into the place where we are tempted by the power of the world. Are you ever tempted by the power of the world? If you say no, it's probably because the world has gotten really good at hiding its power. Really, really good. Because that power, can I tell you where it is? It's right here. Okay? It's in your big card from Menards. Oh, it's in a debit card. Oh, and it's in a MasterCard. That power is all there. Oh, and what else? Well, if you join this club, you can save this much. So it's in your Fresh Sprints card. It's in your 8th Street Ale House card. The power of the world is that we make things happen by money and power and force. And as long as we have the money and the power, we have the force. That's the world. And boy, we're good at it. We're really good at it. Well, what's wrong with using money and power to do what God wants us to do? Wait a minute. You're asking me whether I should use the power of the world, which Satan says belongs to him, to do things God wants. But isn't the outcome the most important thing? What God wants gets done, isn't that the most important thing? That was the question that was asked to Jesus when it said, I'll give you all this glory and power, and you can skip the crucifixion, and you can skip 3 years of ministry, and you can skip everything and go right to the point. All you got to do is worship me. Sounds simple. Why not? The Roman Empire, when it became the Holy Roman Empire, used to capture German tribes and then march all of them, men, women, and children, into a stream. And as the priest stood at the side and speaking the words of baptism, soldiers would ride along with pine branches and throw water in the air so everybody got touched. And when they were done, they slaughtered them all. So they sent them all to heaven. God's will was done. I don't think so. See, God's will is constant love. Love in the face of vicious power. Love that lays down on the cross, spreads its arms out, and looks at the people who are nailing him there and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus doesn't want us in a position where we're tempted to use the wrong things. Jesus doesn't want us tempted to use the world's power the wrong way. So he says, pray every day and lead us not into temptation. And deliver us from the evil one. That's exactly what the Greek says. Not from evil, but from the evil one. Okay, you're not going to meet Satan. You're not going to meet Satan all red with horns and a tail coming out through his slacks. Ain't going to happen. You're not going to meet Satan looking at you like a terrorist with an AK-47 and C4 plastered to, full of screws and nuts plastered to his chest. Ain't going to meet Satan that way. If you're going to meet Satan some way, you're going to meet Satan looking at, standing in a three-piece suit, probably high-priced silk, looking like the world, he's got the world by the tail, offering you all kinds of good things, easy things, simple things, and making it really difficult to say no. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. Doesn't want to put us there. He had already been there. And so the last thing he tells us to pray is lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. It was the church in its use of the prayer that added, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." You know what's interesting about those three words? Those are the three things that Satan tried to get Jesus to take the easy way. That is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The church finishes the prayer by saying, "We understand, Lord. This all belongs to you. All these things. Thank you for going through the Lord's Prayer with me. Thank you for walking through the Lenten Sundays preparing ourselves for Easter. May God bless you all in these days.